Hello, today we are here at the Care Review in Dundee. My name is Lee Addis, and yeah, we're going to ask questions again. Who are you?
My name is Fiona Duncan.
And what do you do?
So I chair the Care Review.
Okay. Why are you here today?
Because I think it's a great opportunity for the Care Review to get to meet new people and get to know people who have come to Care Review events before, get to know them a bit better, and to hear what people think the Care Review needs to do.
How do you think mental health is supported in care experienced people?
So I don't think it's supported well enough yet. The Care Review's spoken to around 5,000 people, and over half of them are infants and babies and children and young people and adults who have experienced care, and they tell us that their mental health isn't as well looked after as it should be. So we've not got it good enough yet, but I'm pretty sure the Care Review will make some big challenging recommendations to make sure that in the future it is better.
How do you also think it could be improved?
So I think it could be improved with more accessible services for care experienced children and young people when they need them, at the point that they need them, where they need them, and at times that they need them, and services that work for them. So services that work really hard to understand what it is the young person or child's looking for, and that makes sure that that's delivered.
Okie dokes. Because Foolish Optimism is looking more at hope this year, would you like to leave a message of hope to anyone and everyone?
So hope is one of my favourite words. And I'm really hopeful that the Care Review, when it concludes early next year, will make some radical challenges towards the thing that we call our care system, and I really hope that those will all come true for children and young people in the future.
Cool. So first question is, who are you?
I'm Cindy McNaughton from Who Cares Scotland.
I'm Paul Lament from Who Cares Scotland.
If you would be so kind to explain, what is Who Cares Scotland?
Okay, Who Cares Scotland is primarily an advocacy organisation. We are totally independent, working with alongside young people who are care experienced, and we make sure that their voices are heard and speak up for them.
And we try to kind of hold others around us to make sure that they are following children's rights according to the UN Convention on Children's Rights, for example, and Children's Scotland Act.
So how do you think the Care Review is going at the moment?
I think the Care Review are doing an absolutely fantastic job, and they are truly listening to what young people are saying regarding all the issues that are needing to change in the care system. Making the care system better for everybody who are growing up in care. It has to change, and I believe that the Care Review is doing that.
So far, I hope the Care Review are kind of doing what they were supposed to do. That we'll know in the end.
So how do you think mental health is supported in care-experienced young people?
I think it needs to be a lot better. There's huge waiting lists, and if you say, I mean, as you say, it's not just for young people, it's for adults. 1 in 4 within society suffer mental health problems, you know. A severe lack of funding. I know the Scottish Government in the past few months have offered a lot more money to put into CAMHS and so forth. However, it's still kind of far, far short of what Scottish Government needs, and the Scottish people need. And I understand that's kind of a Westminster issue in terms of the money that's getting phoned through the Scottish Government, but it's far short of what we really need.
We need to see change. There's not near enough work out there. No, scrap that. It needs to change. There's not near enough support out there for young people. I'm coming across horrendous amounts of young people who have mental health issues, and they're just not getting the support. It's got to change. It's simply got to change. It's not good enough. We're letting all those young people down, and it's, quite frankly, it's awful.
I can't agree anymore. So we're Foolish Optimism, Hope in Action. If you had a message of hope, what would it be?
Keep at it. You will get there. Things will change, and the world will be a better place.
So first question, Who are you and what do you do?
Okay, so my name is Kieran Platts and I am part of the Thousand Voices team. So what a Thousand Voices does is, as part of the Independent Care Review, we sit within the participation hubs. We go all around the country of Scotland and we speak to anyone that's experienced care. So that's children and young people and people that are older as well, and kind of asking about their experiences and trying to feed that into the Independent Care Review.
You said you were an engagement officer.
Yes.
What is that?
Good question. So essentially, it's kind of like a youth worker, I suppose. And the whole point is we design sessions, and it's all around the people that engage with us. So it's all around their grounds about what they want to do and how they want to engage. So we make it happen for them. So they might say, actually, we want you to come and speak to us. I'm like, okay. So, and what would work best for you? And then we kind of do sessions based around that, around the people, rather than kind of, you know, inviting them into our space and being like, this is our room, this is what it's going to do. The whole point of what we do is it's the opposite way around. So the people that are involved in the session lead the session, so they tell us how they want the room, they tell us how they want to engage with us. It's always that way, not the other way around.
Cool. So how do you personally think the care review is going?
Personally, I think it's going really, really well. We have heard a lot of voices over this full period so far. I don't know the full numbers so far, so if this is wrong, then no one shout at us on this podcast, but I think it's around 4,500 people that the Independent Care Review's engaged with so far. It might be slightly higher than that now, actually, but the numbers keep rising, so when this goes out, it's probably out of date anyway, so it's probably going to be higher than that. And we've just heard so much stuff, and it's been a complete honour and a privilege to have heard all of these things around the country and kind of how amazing people are. Utterly astonishing how amazing that people are, and the changes that they want to make as well, and the hope that's involved in the Independent Care Review as well to make positive change for the future.
So as you know, we're Foolish Optimism and we're looking at people's mental health. How do you think mental health is supported, or how could it be improved within care experienced young people?
I think the big thing, and you know, I can't really go into a lot of detail about what we've heard, we're not allowed to do that, but one of the main things that kind of, you know, around the areas that we heard is, and it's kind of what your film's been talking about as well, and it's about that waiting time. You know, when we were doing that question and answer session just there, it was about wait times and stuff like that, and that's one of the big things that we've, you know, a lot of the stuff that we're hearing is almost that people only engage at crisis points rather than having that stuff like, you know, they wait until there's a fire, not engaging when the smoke's starting to be there. So it's about kind of that earlier kind of intervention and quicker as well is what we're hearing loud and clear.
So if you had a message of hope, what would it be?
Message of hope. Things will get better.
So who are you?
So my name's Fraser Stone. I'm the Community Engagement Manager for a company called Starcatchers. Starcatchers is Scotland's early years arts organisation, and I've been with the company since 2017. One of the projects that we delivered in 2017 was a pilot project called Creative Kin. And Creative Kin was delivered in conjunction with Children First up in Moray and down in South Ayrshire. And basically used not just music, but many different art forms to bring carers and their children together as a platform to strengthen bonds. So it was a fantastic project. And kind of I'm using, over the last kind of maybe 6 months or so to a year, I've been attending some of these events and spreading the good word about the project. And also, again, using it as a platform to bring other people together. Maybe slightly older than Starcatchers would focus on, but yeah, so that's kind of how I've been involved so far.
So how would you say music is important for people's mental health?
Well, I mean, I'm a drummer and percussionist, so I can obviously discuss it from that point of view. Certainly, drumming has a long history of, dating back many, many years of aiding mental health, certainly used in a kind of spiritual sense. It's a fantastic platform to just, I suppose, get in your own head, release that kind of built up stress, come together actually as a community. It's these events are fantastic actually, because you get folk coming in that might not have been together all under one roof, and actually having that experience is something quite special together. Playing music together is something quite special. And I know that folk often comment how much kind of calmer they feel when they leave the session. So I think it's the kind of proof is in the pudding, you know. And drumming's used all over the world, as music is as well, for, you know, its therapeutic benefits. I work in a number of schools with some fairly challenging children who don't seem to be able to kind of cope with larger group environments, but, you know, connecting with them in smaller groups and using music as a way to kind of promote that connection is something quite powerful. And I know that the music certainly helps with that. So it can be used in a variety of different settings. So I use it within community settings and obviously kind of care experienced children and carers, and in education as well. So.
Okay, Dokes. If you had a message of hope to give anyone and everyone, what would it be?
I suppose just believe in yourself. I think there's beauty inside of everybody, and I think especially...
First question is, who are you?
My name's John Morrison, so I'm a lecturer in digital media and interaction design at Edinburgh Napier University.
And why are you here today?
So I'm presenting a project that I'm doing. I'm doing a PhD part-time, so I'm showcasing some of the digital storytelling aspects of working with different community groups who care experienced people, and seeing how digital storytelling could be used to help them express their ideas while protecting confidentiality.
So at the few events that you have been in, how would you say the care review is going?
I think it's such an important project that people are listened to, because normally, from my perspective, working in university as a corporate parent, I'm very acutely aware that a lot of the perspective that people have on care experience people comes from statistics. And we know that the statistics are important, but they're only part of a picture. So the listening stage and spending time to really go and creatively engage with groups, I think, is vitally important to reframe some of the deficit discourse which happens when you only have statistics representing people.
If you don't mind me asking, because there'll certainly be some people who don't know, what is a corporate parent?
So a corporate parent is legislation which exists for a number of public bodies. So I can give examples that I know, which are teachers and university lecturers, doctors and nurses, the police, fire services. So a lot of people who are paid in the public sector, it's their responsibility, their privilege to be looking after the interests of care experienced people, any care experienced person. So for example, as an educational corporate parent, I'm not just a corporate parent for university students, I'm a corporate parent to any care experienced person who you communicate with.
So as you know, we're Foolish Optimism and we're looking at people's mental health. How do you think mental health could be improved within care experienced people?
I think the first step is really the things that you're doing is listening to people, and then the next step is really involving them in the potential solution as well, so that they feel ownership of the solution space. So I think a really important thing, once you've done the listening, is then to involve people in their own and as part of the solution process, and also encourage people who have been working in the field for a while maybe to rethink some of their potential invisible biases or things that they've been carrying with them, to say that actually I didn't think about it that way before. I've been doing this for so long that, and these themes that young people have been expressing have shown something new to me. So I think involving people all the way through and in finding creative ways for engaging the people who are designing services in mental health.
And lastly, if you had a message of hope, what would it be?
My message of hope is that there's so many exciting creative things happening with these with a lot of the care experience groups, and I would love to see these messages taken into a broader platform. So my message of hope around the care review is to say, this is not the next stage is not a destination stage, it's just the beginning. The journey's the destination, and let's be part of the change that we want to see in the country.
Thank you so much. First question, who are you?
My name is Gary Brown. I'm a corporate parents and youth worker with Perth and Kinross Council, and part of my job is to support the Fun Young Individuals group, who are like our participation group.
Okay. So what is Fun Young Individuals?
So Fun Young Individuals are a group of care experienced young people, 12 to 25, who are, I suppose, part of what we don't have a champs board in Perth, because young people didn't want to be called the champs board and have their whole thing called the champs board. So they're one part of what is like our champs board. They're obviously the centre of it.
Okay. So how do you think the care review is going?
Great. I think what it looks like is the care review's tried really hard to speak to people individually, collectively, do it all over Scotland, do it in a way that young people will engage and older people will engage. So I think it's been really good what has happened, but I suppose it's what happens after it is the most important bit.
So we're Foolish Optimism, and we are fully more concentrated more on people's mental health. Mm-hmm. So how do you think mental health could be improved within care experienced people?
By, I suppose like the whole Champions Board mentality of young people engaging with strategic people, I think it's the best way to work, so that in regards to mental health, you can have people who can maybe make change in mental health services, listen to the voice of care experience young people. We try to do that in Perth, and we've got some really good people on board who are doing things like, there's a, in Dundee actually, there's in the NHS, a team being developed that are going to work just with care experience young people, and they came to our group to ask about scenarios and questions they could ask when they were interviewing the staff. And I know that some of the ideas that the FYI came up with were used in the interview for the staff. So I think that's a good way. That kind of thing's a good way to get people working together instead of for, like, the staff working for the young people. Working together, I think, is better.
So if you had a message of hope, what would it be?
Such a big question.
Yeah, it's not an easy one.
I think what's important is that everybody tries to stay as positive as they can to try and make change. And I know that's really, really easy to say and really hard to do. But I think if services, local authorities, communities, and as a country, we look at mental health more positively and we look at the voice of young people more positively, then maybe something brilliant can happen.
Okay, so who are you?
So I'm Alistair Redpath, I'm 32, and I'm the co-chair of the Stigma work group at the Care Review.
So would you like to explain what the Stigma work group is?
Yeah, so the Stigma work group is looking at where stigma originates in the care system. So how different processes can be stigmatising, how stigma looks and feels to people. We actually came up with a working definition of what stigma is, because if you look at the dictionary definition, it's about having a mark of disgrace, it's about stigmata, like Jesus on the cross kind of stuff. And we thought, well, it's absolutely no disgrace to be a young person in care. So we just threw that out the window, came up with our own definition, which I cannot remember off the top of my head, but the important bit to emphasise for that is that it's felt on a very personal level, so it can mean something different to everybody. And we're looking at how to combat stigma. So my co-chair, Denisha, has come up with a model that's looking at structural, social and self-stigma. So the structural stuff we know about, you know, about legislation such as through care and aftercare that's not been implemented, is potentially being ignored or implemented wrongly. And young people are ending up homeless, they're ending up sofa surfing, and we know that's obviously not right, and we're there to change that. Looking at things around social stigma, about how young people are portrayed in the media. So looking at things like Tracy Beaker, looking at things in soaps, looking at things in films, looking at, like, say, Harry Potter being in kinship care. So it's a very interesting thing to try and get a handle on. And self-stigma as well, so about how all these different kind of processes, you know, the very kind of experience of being care, how that feels on a personal level.
How important is it to stop stigma?
Yeah, it's very important. It's probably one of the most important things we're doing within the review. We've heard from young people that even sometimes where they've had a positive experience of care, that they're still being stigmatised. And we know that that can affect your mental health, it can affect your opportunities within education and employment. So we're well aware that stigma is such a massive thing. It underpins everything else that's going on within the review and wider. And absolutely, we're here to end that.
How do you think the care review is going at the moment?
We're at a bit of a kind of difficult point in time where we've kind of gathered all our kind of evidence and our voices and all that kind of information, and now we're kind of looking at, well, how does that translate into recommendations? How does that translate into kind of going from just talk into being action? So this is what we're kind of in the process of describing and discussing just now, is, you know, how we can actually make a difference on the ground, so it's not just going to end up like, you know, every other review where it's just a report at the end of it.
So as you know, we're Foolish Optimism, and we look at people's mental health. How do you personally think mental health could be improved within care experienced people?
That is that's a big question, that, and obviously it's something that is going to matter a lot to a lot of people, especially within Foolish Optimism. Mental health, ending the stigma with mental health is that's a tricky one to do. I think it's going to be taking parts of what all the work groups are doing together, so it doesn't just sit on its own. You know that mental health can be affected by everything round about you, by your relationships with people, by processes, by, you know, things that maybe your social worker takes you out somewhere, or, you know, you're a residential, you're in residential, and, you know, you're getting taken back and forth in a car that's got residential splattered on the side or the name of the place. So we know that, you know, your mental health is, it doesn't just sit on its own. So I think being able to tackle some of the kind of structural stuff around that, but also empowering people, giving them independence, independent advocacy, giving them, helping them to be knowledgeable about their rights and how that impacts upon things. But in terms of mental health specifically, we have a work group, the Health and Wellbeing Work Group, that's looking at that area and how to improve that just now. So it's not just a, you know, 5 month wait for CAMHS and you have to be in crisis to access any of that.
So last thing. If you had a message of hope, what would it be?
I'm an optimistic person, so I would say just don't give up. You know, we're here, we've got your back. This is one message. You know, we've got you. We are more than 50% of the people in this care review are care experienced, and we're going absolutely nowhere. We're here to fight on your behalf, and we're very passionate about doing that.
Thank you so much.
Who are you? So my name's Carly Edgar. I am the 1000 Voices manager. So I manage the team that are supporting the review to reach out and speak to care experienced people of all ages across Scotland.
So why are you here today?
So it was my team that have coordinated the event, but to be honest, the reason that we wanted to do these events was because we were very aware that it's quite hard to let people know about what the review is doing, unless you've got a worker or a carer or somebody that can tell you about it. It's quite hard to be able to find out about it. So we wanted to do little hub events around the country so that we could invite people along, do some fun stuff, showcase the beautiful participation work that groups like Front Lounge deliver on and do, but also have the co-chairs from the review available so there can be a little bit of kind of relaxed chatting as well as getting into some really proper discussions about what's wrong with the care system and what's right with the care system as well.
So how do you think mental health can be improved within care experienced young people?
So I actually am quite passionate about this. My previous job, I delivered intensive support to young women that were either in care or leaving care, and the biggest issue for them was that they had never had proper mental health support or intervention from early enough a stage. Personally, from my experience of doing that type of work and from everything we've heard through 1000 Voices, I think mental health support should be automatic. As soon as somebody comes into the care system, it should be on offer for them. It shouldn't be something that you have to scramble about and ask for, or it shouldn't wait until there's a crisis point for it to take place. It should just be, we should just be recognising that when somebody comes into care, that they will already have experienced some amount of trauma and deserve some dedicated mental health support at that point. And they can opt out of it if they want. Absolutely, it's not a forced thing, but it needs to be robust, meaningful, relationship-led mental health support from as soon as somebody comes into care, and hopefully before that, if it's recognised in time.
So if you had a message of hope, because we're hope in action, what would it be?
I suppose my message of hope is that to be mindful of the fact that this care review is not just informed by care experienced people, but it's led by them through from the chair through to the co-chairs, through to the participation teams delivering it. There are care experienced people delivering this work as well as informing it. And I think that should only give you hope, because people who've experienced both the good and bad of this system are the ones trying to drive this to make change. And that's never really been done before for a review. And I think that's incredible, and that should give us all hope. Even if things don't change immediately when the review ends, we have this army of people who are so passionate, have created the review, have led the review, and have informed the review. How can change not come after that? Like, that's exciting.
So first question is, who are you?
So I'm Heather Cody.
And why are you here today?
So I am part of the secretariat that's supporting the independent care review. And I'm head of change currently. And I started in May in my post. And previous to that, I was the programme director at Life Changes Trust. So I was funding initiatives and projects around care experience.
So as you know, Life Changes Trust funded Foolish Optimism. My question to you is, what is Life Changes Trust?
Okay, so Life Changes Trust, the short answer, was established by a spend out endowment from the big lottery of 50 million over a 10-year period for two groups. One, people experiencing dementia and their carers, and the other about care experience young people. And we were tasked to make transformational change over that 10-year period for those two vulnerable groups.
You also mentioned that you are the head of change of the care review. Could I ask you what that entails?
I am supporting three of the working groups as part of the care review. So I'm looking after love, justice and care, and the stigma work groups. I am supporting the review in terms of working with funders. We've called this the Curious Collaborative, and we're working with funders to start thinking about, is there a different model, a different way of thinking about funding? Could we make change? Could we use some of the learning from the review to do that? Could we think about we're paralysed, how we can do things differently? So that's quite interesting and exciting. I'm helping to support the evidence base around the care review, so that's massive. So with all the stuff that's come through Voice, all the stuff that's come through the work groups, all the stuff that's come through the engagement with all the different stakeholders, that will all be one big bit of evidence that we'll be able to draw on and report on. So part of my remit is to support and help with that too.
How do you personally think the care review has gone this year?
Well, I've only been around since May, but I have been watching from the sidelines because as part of Life Changes Trust, we funded Who Cares Scotland, who campaigned, who actually were successful in having the review established. So that's been my journey as well. So I'm part of funding, part of the change that's happened since then. So I've only been around since May. I am totally excited now that I'm actually beginning to see all of the evidence coming together. So nearly over 5,000 people have contributed. That's huge. That's different to anything else that's ever been done in terms of a review. And the idea that this kind of change has been driven, which is dear to my heart, by young people themselves, is huge. So, yeah, this year's been exciting and interesting and hopeful. Slightly terrifying because a lot hinges on it, and there's a lot of expectation around it, and we just need to finish now.
How do you think mental health could be improved within care experienced young people?
It's a huge thing, and it's one of the things that as we've gone through the review and all the evidence that I've talked about consistently has come up. And it's to be expected. People who've often experienced trauma and loss, suffer from attachment issues, experience all sorts of difficulties. Sometimes the care system compounds that because there isn't relationships that are needed, or a sense of belonging, a sense of love, a sense of connection. Sometimes the difficulties that people might experience with their mental health is why they come into the care system. Tragically, a lot might end up in secure units and they don't belong there. I don't think anyone belongs there, frankly, but, you know, so it's a massive, massive issue. And I think if we start getting some of the other stuff right, around relationships, around connection, around support, around supporting families, we'll see a huge reduction in some of the mental health difficulties that we're seeing. I'm convinced of that.
So lastly, if you had a message of hope, what would it be?
I think Scotland is on the cusp of making the biggest ever change. And that is really exciting. And I believe that because there is a massive army of people who've experienced care, who've worked in the care system, who passionately want things to be different, and who are suddenly saying now, this is not good enough. We can do much, much better than this. So I think we'll see a massive amount of change. This is not going back in a box. It's out now, and it will stay out until it's sorted.
Thank you so much, Heather. So first question is, who are you?
I'm Alan Baird. I have a social work background. I'm semi-retired now, but still involved in a number of different things in social work, including the independent care review.
So why are you here? Why are you here today?
Well, I'm here because it's important that we continue listening to the voice of care experienced young people in terms of the final recommendations of the review. Dundee is my home patch. It's where I live and where I work. Hopefully today will give us more information that will be helpful to the review.
So would you say that the care review is going the way you expected?
I think firstly, there's never been a review like this in Scotland before. So it has a number of unique qualities. It's listening to more people than I think have been listened to before in helping build the review and the recommendations. And the good thing is checking out at every stage that the voice of the young people with care experience is still relevant to help shape the review. The review itself is going in a direction that will build for the future and make, I think, very significant contribution to the experience of young people in Scotland. And I think that was always the hope that the review would end up with.
You mentioned that you are previously semi-retired from doing social work in Dundee. Yeah. How would you personally say that the social work system needs to be improved, or if there's things that need to be changed, what do you think they should be?
We need good, strong leadership, and leadership in social work is not just at very senior levels. Social work leadership needs to be right through the organisations of children's services. We need to think much more in social work about the impact of the decisions that we make. And where we can, we must listen to very, very hard the voice of young people, because many of the people in social work, not everybody, doesn't have the experience of care, and it's a unique quality, and we need to do better at listening to that voice and helping shape the services for the future. And these services that we offer young people need to be much more consistent. One of the big challenges, of course, is that resources are becoming more and more tight, but that that shouldn't stop us listening very clearly to the voice of young people.
Definitely. So how do you think that mental health could be improved within care experienced young people?
Well, mental health and well-being is an issue for all of society, not just for young people who have the experience of care. But I think what we do have to ensure that we listen to very carefully those concerns that young people have about their own well-being, particularly those who have unfortunately had really negative, poor experiences of being care, who have been separated from their brothers and their sisters, from their parents, and whose confidence and whose self-esteem has suffered because of some of the experiences they've had. So there are particular things that professionals need to look out for as far as young people in care are concerned, and offer that support at the earliest possible stage in order that mental health issues don't become more and more severe as young people progress.
Lastly, as you know, we are Foolish Optimism, Hope in Action. If you had a message of hope, what would it be?
The message of hope for me is there is going to be change. There's going to be big change, and young people with experience alongside professionals will make changes, big changes that will be very positive for the lives of young people in care in the future.
Thank you so much.
That's all right.